Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed.
All right, come on. What's up, South End? Good morning. Welcome to church. If I haven't met you guys, my name is Matt Henderson. My wife and I get to be campus pastors here at South End. And what a great morning it is today. I'm glad you're here today. We're going to have a good time. We're finishing up this series called By His Stripes. Now, if you're new to Freedom House, we kind of follow along a series each month. Usually it maps out month to month. And we have a teaching team. So each week that you come here, there will be a different communicator. We have a multi-site campus. And this is our vision from our senior pastors, is that we'll be multi-site all over Charlotte area. You'll be within 15 minutes. Wherever you live in the Charlotte metro area, there will be a Freedom House 15 minutes from you. That's our vision. That's our goal as a church. I hope that you'll come alongside us and pray for that and believe for that. But also a part of their vision is to have a live communicator. You know, nothing wrong with streaming in through video, but our pastor, since the very beginning, Diane and I have been here for 17 years. And from the very beginning, it's always been about bringing people along. It's never been the Troy and Penny show. It's never been about them. It's always been about, let's go along and do this together. And seeing people and identifying their gifts and talents and drawing it out of them. Even if they don't want to. Even if they don't want to partake. And that's why I'm here today. Because our senior pastors, Troy and Penny, told me to be here. No. So I also want to give a shout out to Pastor Olin. Give it up for him. Didn't he do great? He's a big part of our teaching team. And helps with preparing messages. He helped me with this and doing my run-through. So if this bombs today, you can blame our senior pastors and Pastor Olin, who's also here. But if I do great, then we'll give credit to God. Amen? So we have been in this series called By His Stripes. How many of you guys enjoyed this series? How many know a little bit more about healing, who God is as a healer over these past few weeks? How many of you have been healed, have experienced healing during this series? Come on, I see a lot of hands. Let's go. How many of you are still waiting on God's healing? Amen. Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's okay. We're going to talk about that today. Listen, we're in Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 7. I want to read it. This is the verses that we based this entire series on, and I want to read through it just the last time this month to put a staple, and hopefully it imprints into your hearts. Isaiah says in verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Is that up there? Keep it here for a second, because I want you to notice, I don't know if you saw this before, but you can see that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, both sin. He was chastised, meaning punished, for our peace and our healing. Isn't it interesting that God's talking about both sin, Jesus taking care of our sin, but also providing peace and healing in the very same verse? Take note of that. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to its own way, and the Lord has laid on him, being Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Anybody in here seen Mandalorian? The series, Disney Plus. Okay, if you don't know, how many people know what Star Wars is? Hopefully everybody. It's a little spoiler alert here in a second, but I'm sorry, not sorry. It's really old. You should have seen it by now. But Mandalorian is a series about a character from the original Star Wars trilogy. And during COVID, we were, this is when we were all just parked at home, no sports or anything. And my son, the Mandalorian was out. My son, I was like, oh man, we should watch this together. And so we're going through the Mandalorian series, and, it's a great series. It's awesome. And he has a lot of questions. He keeps asking, and I keep having to pause the show. He's like, Dad, what's a Jedi? What's he talking about the force, or what's he talking about? Like, what's the backstory? What is going on here? And I'm like, hold on. And I'm getting frustrated because we have to stop the show like every 10 minutes for me to explain it. And it finally dawns on me, he has no idea. He didn't grow up in the 80s like me. He didn't see the very first trilogy. He didn't experience the second trilogy that came in the early 2000s. He has no idea who Anakin Skywalker is, who becomes Darth Vader. And then here, spoiler alert, cover your ears.
Luke, I am your father.
He had no idea. So what do we do? When COVID, we had plenty of time. We went back and watched all six of the movies. And now his eyes were open. He appreciated The Mandalorian way more because he knew the backstory. And he also appreciated the backstory because it's awesome and it's amazing. Good versus evil and wars and lasers and all kinds of cool ships and crazy people or characters, whatever. So why am I telling you this? Isn't it amazing that he had a better picture of it because he had both the old and the new? And today, in our Bible, as Christians, we have both the Old Testament and the New Testament. You see, can you imagine growing up Jewish and having the Jewish scriptures just implanted in you and imparted in you from the time you could talk and walk, and just telling you about the Jewish traditions and who God is, and from the beginning, and Moses, and all of the prophets, and you would have great confidence in that, rightfully so. And then you would hear about this guy who came along and his ministry. He started fulfilling all of these things that you had read about for years about a Messiah who would come. And then your confidence in him and in the New Testament would be even greater because you know the old. Or then imagine if you've never read the Bible before. You have no idea what Old Testament and New Testament, you have no clue. But you hear about a man named Jesus. You hear about a God who is so good that he sent his son for you to die for you, and you choose to believe it. You choose to accept him as your Lord and Savior. And then you open this book and you start reading. You're like, wait a minute. This has been a plan from the beginning of time. Like, people have been talking about him and have been prophesying about him from the very beginning of time. Then your confidence in everything that he's done and everything that God has created is even more profound, is even stronger because you believe it. You know you have both the old and the new. So that's our walk. As Christians, that's our walk. Because Jesus didn't come to abolish the law or the prophets. No, he said, I came to fulfill them. And so our confidence in the Old Testament grows because of the New Testament. And this is our whole balance as we go through this life, walking, we learn about the old and fulfilling in the new. And now God had a plan from the beginning of time. And so here in this scripture, we're in the Old Testament. Isaiah is a man. He's a prophet. Some 700 years before the New Testament's written, and he's talking about a Messiah who would come, a prophesying of a man who would be wounded, who would be bruised, who would be chastised, who would be beaten so that we could be free from sin, so that we could have peace, so that we could be healed both physically and spiritually, even though we deserve death, even though every one of us has gone astray. We have, just like the scripture said, every one of us has gone our own way. He laid it upon himself, and he said not a single word. He could have called down the angels from heaven and just unleashed hell all on earth and just tore it all up, but he did not. He didn't even say a word. And like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter so that you could live for eternity. So if you're here this morning and you ever asked, so what is the essence of Christianity? Have you ever had somebody challenge you? What is the foundation of it all? This is it in verse 6, where he says, all humans have gone astray. All humans. All of us. Billy Graham. Mother Teresa. The Pope. My sweet Mama Mary, who I never knew to do a thing in her life that was sinful. But even her. Even Pastor Diana. Even her. All of us have turned our own way. We've wandered from God, and this is called sin. And the penalty for it is death. But God was not willing to leave us in this guilty and condemned condition. He had planned from the very beginning to send a suffering servant, not only to model love for us, but to bear our sins as a substitute for us. Later in verse 6, it says, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, meaning the wickedness, the evil, the sin of us all. This is the heart of Christianity. Jesus was born to die. He was born to die. He came to take your place. He came to bear your sins. He was born of a virgin. Why is that important? Because he was born without sin. He was not born from generational purposes. He was born from a divine purpose and a miracle birth. The man who knew no sin became sin. For you and I, you nailed him to the cross. I nailed him to the cross. And he fulfilled these prophecies, and he never sinned himself. And he went to the cross as a lamb and said, not a word, so that you could be free today. So that when God looks at that cross, he sees you and he sees me. But when he looks at you and he looks at me, he sees Jesus. This is the gospel. That's the gospel that we preach. That's the gospel that we know, that we love. And where we've spent this whole month is in verse 5, where it says, where Isaiah foreshadowed that by his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. So I looked up and I studied healing in preparing for this message, and I went through the Bible and the Old Testament and the New, and there were over 40 accounts of healings in the Bible. Now, not specific healings, because there were times where it said Jesus healed everybody that was brought to him. A handful in the Old Testament and then the majority in the New. And there were 7 people that were accounted in the Bible for healing. Elijah, if you remember, he was a prophet. He brought a guy back from the dead. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Elisha, his protege, remember, he asked for a double portion. He not only raised 2 guys from the dead, but his dead bones, they brought a dead guy and laid it on his grave, and his dead bones brought a man back to life. Peter was given, Peter from the New Testament, he was accounted for 3. He brought some paralyzed men. He made them walk. He brought a man back from the dead. Philip, it said, he preached and performed signs in Samaria. Ananias, if you remember Saul, before he became Paul, Ananias was a man that Jesus showed up in a dream and said, hey, there's a blind man that's coming to you and you're going to heal him. Saul shows up blind and he heals him and he becomes Paul. Paul's accounted with 3 healings. He healed a lame man. He brought a man back from the dead. And it said that he prayed for a guy to be healed, and he was. And then he said the rest of the people that were sick on the entire island he was on were immediately healed. Now, the majority of healings that we talk about are from Jesus. Over 30 times in the New Testament, it talks about Jesus healing people. A lot of different accounts. Sometimes he spoke a word. Sometimes, we talked a couple weeks ago with Pastor Owen, he spit on a guy, which sounds kind of wild. he spoke a word. He touched people. And then Matthew 4, verse 23, it says, and he went throughout all Galilee. Say all. Teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming. He went to church. He went to Galilee and he went to church and he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he healed what? Every disease and every affliction. This is where I make a joke about in the Greek. It's every means every. So it means every. There's no translation there. It means all of them. Bad joke, sorry. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures, and paralytics, and he healed them. He healed them. He healed them, all of them. So why am I telling you this? Because if you're like me, I grew up in a small farm town Presbyterian church, wooden pews, and we never talked about healing. I mean, we prayed for people. We had a prayer sheet at the end of the service. We would take names. Who needs prayer? And we would say their name, and they would get in the bulletin, and there would be a list at the bottom. And at the end of service, the pastor would pray over each of them. But we never laid hands. We never talked about healing somebody or me having the power to heal somebody or you having the power, the authority of all of heaven to heal people. And this is not a shot at Presbyterian or small country churches or small, you know, this is just the way that I was brought up. So I didn't have an expectation of healing. When something was going on, you got Robitussin or Dimetapp. Somewhere transitioned in there, I remember everything was Robitussin. And then all of a sudden, I remember that great taste in my mouth right now. It's Dimetapp. You got it for a broken leg. You got it for a cold. You got it. If you couldn't sleep, you took Dimetapp. And I had a, you know, my family, it was a small country town. And farm. My grandmother had a remedy for everything. So if I brought some of the tours, she, you know, oh, we'll just go put aloe on that. Or where's the horse liniment? Anybody ever had horse liniment rubbed on you for a pulled muscle or something? Yeah. There was a reason for it. There was a solve for everything. But it was never let's lay hands and pray. So that's how I grew up. And then many of you may have grown up that way in Western culture with hospitals on every corner and a medicine for everything and Google. Like, we have a solution for everything. So a lot of times we don't even go to God because we don't need him. But what I want you to understand is that we're missing the healing of God. And sometimes I go back and I was thinking and preparing for this. How many healings did I miss out on in my life just because I ran to a solution or a product or a medicine instead of going to God? And I never thought about it now, but how could we miss it? How could we miss that healing is a very fundamental part of faith? The author of Hebrews in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, he says, therefore, now he's explaining to the church, he's writing to the people, and he's trying to get them to go from the basics. He's trying to go next level in being a Christian. He's trying to go level 2. And he says, therefore, leaving the discussion, let's go away from the elementary principles of Christ. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. He's like, let's not do this, let's not rehash this whole thing over again. The foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. So he says laying hands on the sick is an elementary principle of Christ. And it's a baseline fundamental principle of your faith walk, just as repentance, just as faith, just as baptisms, just as resurrection, and just as eternal judgment are today. Did you guys know, if you study healing throughout all history until modern history, which has been like 10 minutes ago, healing has always been associated with Christians. It always has. Did you know that hospitals were birthed from the church? But somehow we've lost it. And just because you've never experienced it yourself, or you've never seen it happen to somebody else, or maybe you don't understand how it works, or maybe you don't even believe in it, it doesn't mean it isn't real. It doesn't mean that God stopped doing it. It's kind of like the lottery, right? I've never won the lottery. I don't even know anybody who has won the lottery, especially the Mega Millions, right? Or the big money. But it still happens. People still win. And I don't play the lottery a lot, but when I do buy a lottery ticket, I expect to win. I don't know about you, but when I buy that ticket and I walk out of the gas station, I've got a plan. Like, if I win, I'm just going to disappear for about 2 weeks. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not even telling Diana. And then one day, I'll just say I got something going on for work, and I'm going to drive to Raleigh, and I'm going to get a financial advisor. I'm going to hide all the money, separate it, plan it out. And then, man, we're going to go on a big cruise or something. We're going to blow it out. And I'm going to call Pastor Troy and Penny, and I'm going to say, hey, you know those other 7 campuses? I got them. Healing is something we should be expectant of, something that we believe for, something that we have faith for, something that gives us hope. And here's the funny part. In reading the Bible, you know, they needed healing, and they went to Jesus. They didn't even know who he was. Some of them weren't even Jewish, but they were like, hey, I've heard about this guy, and he's healing people. Let's get there. They believed enough to pick up everything and leave their job, their houses, and they would go to Jesus and get healed. But you know what they struggled with? Their salvation, that he was the Messiah. They struggled with that. They went to him and they believed he could heal them, but they didn't believe he was the Son of God. And today, isn't it funny that Christians believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And we believe him for our salvation, but we struggle with him healing us. We'll trust him with heaven. God, you got me forever, but I don't know about my allergies. This migraine, man, I'm just gonna be dealing with headaches for the rest of my life. My marriage is a wreck. We'll probably just end up in divorce. I've never bought a house. I'll never be able to buy a house. I'm just always gonna be poor and broke and have to struggle day to day and work this terrible job and hate my boss. And I'm always gonna have cancer. I know it. It's just gonna keep coming back and coming back. We can trust God with our eternal salvation, but we struggle with the little healing that we need today in this world. He wants us to be healed, church. His name is Jehovah Rapha. That means God, the healer. So here's the great question, though. Why does God even allow his people to get sick? If God's so good, why does he even need to be a healer? Why doesn't he just not let us get sick at all? That's why I want to get into the meat of it today. I want to talk about healing. I want to talk about the purpose of healing, the plan of healing, and the process of healing. And number one, we're going to talk about the purpose of healing. And I'm going to answer this by, or ask a question and answer it by, why do people become sick? Why do people become sick, Matt? I'm going to have four reasons for you. Number one is the most important. It's sin. It's sin. We go back to Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And ultimately, it's mankind's sin. In the very beginning, you know the story with Adam and Eve, when God created this perfect world, and sin entered it. They ate the apple. They went to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they chose to eat that apple. And God comes to them and says, where are you at, guys? Everything was perfect. Where are you? And they were naked and hiding because they could see now, and they knew. And God speaks and says in Genesis 3:22, he says, the man has now, he's speaking about Adam and Eve, mankind, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. So in the beginning of time, God made it perfect for us. He created this perfect world. And when sin entered the world, God says, now we're separate. Now you know good and evil. And now you can't eat from the tree of life. Now you're going to have to toil in this world and deal with sickness and death. So Matt, if God is so good, then why do children get sick? Or why do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? There's only one of those who's ever walked this earth who has been good, who has been truly good, and that was Jesus. We live in a fallen world, and each one of us plays a part in that, no matter how good we are. Listen, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. It's our fault. Adam and Eve get a bad rap, but all of us would have eaten the apple as well. Some of us would have made apple butter, apple sauce. Some of you, I know, would have cut down that tree, and you would have had nice hardwood floors in your house. Look what we did, God. Look at this nice reclined mantle. Chip and Joanna would be so proud. It's all our fault. We all would have eaten that apple. Don't look at anybody. I know you're thinking about them. Number two, carelessness. Carelessness. The body belongs to God. Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 6. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. We've disregarded the importance of our bodies and how precious they are, especially now because we can fix it, repair it, get a new one, upsize it, upgrade it, do whatever, change it, look like it, up, you know, tuck it, fit it, whatever, hide it. I treated mine terribly through phases of my life. As a kid, I was so reckless on ATVs and dirt bikes, and we had a three-wheeler. I know they're not even legal now, and I used to drive like a madman on that thing at 14, 15 years old, and it should have died numerous times. And in college, I won't even get into the things and the things I put my body through, but sleepless nights and alcohol, binge drinking, eating terribly, and drugs and smoking and drunk driving. Like, how in the world am I still here? I totally disregard, especially some of you guys who are young and ladies that are young, you disregard the importance of your body. Listen, there will come a day when things hurt and you'll appreciate it a lot more. Care for your bodies right now. We all self-sabotage in things. You know, I've experienced it a lot in praying for people, and you pray for somebody to find healing in something and then they immediately turn around and do something that totally sabotages. You're like, come on. It's like praying for insomnia, and then you go chug these like Monster Energy, whatever liquid cocaine things they have. It's basically cocaine in a can. It is, and you're chugging it, but you're like, God, I can't sleep at night. Well, help yourself a little bit here. Listen to me, I'll say this. Divine health is always better than divine healing. Divine health is always better than divine healing. I would rather be someone who is able and equipped to help others and bless others instead of constantly needing a blessing myself. Take care of your bodies. Let's do our part and be the best that we can be so that we can be a blessing to others. Number four, and this is a big deal to God, is unconfessed sin. This one's a big one. He talks about it over and over again. In 1 Corinthians, Paul brings it up as well. He's talking about partaking in Holy Communion, so doing a ritual, a religious act in honoring God and taking communion while having unconfessed sin in our hearts. Listen to it. He says, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself. Listen, that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. We have to confess our sins. It's a big deal. Jesus died for it. Don't take his name in vain. That's really taking God's name in vain, is not allowing him to carry the burden of your sin, confessing it before him and the Lord, and giving it back to him, clearing the slate so that God can heal you. Now, I'm not sharing these things with you to diagnose somebody or to look around and be like, oh, I know why she's sick. I know why he's dealing with that. It's probably because, number two, he's been careless. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm not telling you to judge others. I'm telling you this to understand that sickness does not come from God. It does not come from God. God did not give you cancer. God doesn't give you anxiety. God did not put that on you. So don't you associate it with your identity, because he calls you healed. And he says, I made you wonderfully and perfectly. Don't ever accept it as who you are. So when someone is sick, do me a favor. Don't look at the circumstances. Look at God's promises, because his promises are far greater than his circumstances. And his promises are that we will be healed, that we will be made whole. This was his plan from the very beginning. So what do I do if I get sick? So you're telling me I might get sick in my life. Jesus said it. He said, we'll face trials and tribulations. We're going to have some bad stuff happen to us. But what do I do? Great question, because God gives us an answer. And that's the plan of healing. And God has a plan for you to be healed. He gives it to us in James chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. He says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who's sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, here it is again. Here it is again. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So, step number one says, let him call for the elders of the church. It doesn't say sit around and wait for the Spirit to speak to the pastor or the leader to call you and know what's going on with you. It says, let him. There's some ownership here, because you have to step out in faith. You need to take out a step in faith and reach out to the leaders, the people in your church, the pastors in your church, and say, I need prayer for healing. It's an act of faith, and there's ownership in it. Faith requires ownership and for you to take action. So don't sit around and wait for the Holy Spirit to drop a word on somebody to come to you. No, you reach out. You go after God and say, I need prayer for healing. I need prayer. Step two is pray. What do we pray? We speak God's word over them. Leaders, look at me. Somebody, if you've never prayed for healing over somebody and there or anybody in this church, if somebody comes to you for healing, what do you pray? I don't know what to say. You speak God's word over them. You speak Isaiah over them. By his stripes, you are healed. You are wonderfully and perfectly made. His name is Jehovah Rapha. He is your healer. And right now, I called you healed in the name of Jesus. The Bible says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Step three, anoint with oil. In the Bible, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Oil is not a medicine. It's just an obedience to God. It's an act of faith, saying, God, I believe you and I trust you. And step four is confess your faults. We talked about this. Confession of faults, confession of your sins and your shortcomings is necessary. But Matt, I've come up for prayer. I've been anointed. I've confessed sins, and I am still sick. But my dad still died. But I'm still tormented with anxiety, with depression, with addiction. And I hear you. I do hear you. And my heart goes out for you. But I want to encourage you today that as you're going through this process of healing, that your expectation of God only rise. It only rise. You know, we order a lot from Amazon at our house. And the good thing about Amazon is, man, 2 days, it's there. I mean, you can count on it. It's pretty solid. It's going to be at your door. But in 2 days, if it's not there, what do you do? Well, you know, you guys may call. You know, for me, I'm like, well, it's coming day three. I know it's coming day three because 99% of the time they hit day two. They hit that two-day window. And if it's not there on day two, then I know on day three it's coming around the block. Or it's coming tonight while I'm asleep. I know, I don't have doubts or fears that it's going to show up because I know they're going to show up. I know that little blue spinner van is going to come right around my block and that guy or girl in their blue vest is going to come out and there's going to be a bing motion detection on my Ring doorbell and then he's going to lay that little package on the front step. I know it. I don't get upset and I don't think they're going to push it down a few more days. I have expectation and it only grows the more with the more time that I am waiting for it. And that's how you should be with your faith. I don't want you to get beaten down. I don't want you to think that God has left you or forsaken you or forgotten that you need your healing. I want your expectation to grow. And I'm encouraging here because many times there is patience in the healing process. And this is where I want to land it. Because healing, a lot of times, is a process. Yes, Jesus healed people instantly. Yes, he did. We talk about the man with the withered hand. He went to church, and there was a guy with a withered hand, and Jesus said, stick your hand out and let it be healed. And instantly it was healed. He spoke to him. He said, send my word. God, send your word and my daughter will be healed. And he spoke a word and they were healed. Instantly he did healings. And it can happen today. You can instantly be healed right now of whatever it is that you're dealing with. I fully believe in that. And then sometimes there's a process. It's a gradual process of healing. And it was the same in the Bible. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Owen was here. He preached out of Mark chapter 8. Remember, it was the man who was blind, and his friends brought him to Jesus, and he took him out of the town by the hand, and this is where he spit on the guy, and he spit in his face, and he rubbed it around, and he said, hey, open your eyes and tell me what you see. And what did he say? He's like, I see, like, people, and they look like trees, and they're walking around. And then he did it again. He touched his eyes, and it said he was healed, and he had perfect sight. So why did Jesus do that? Did he not? Like, did he only give it half a healing power? It's like, dang, he only wanted them to heal him halfway. No, it was because he was drawing the faith out of the man. It wasn't that Jesus messed up. He wanted him to be fully healed, but he was drawing the faith out of him. Listen to me, and I want this to land hard on your hearts right now. God is more concerned with your character than your condition. He's more concerned with my character than my condition. And sometimes he's just trying to draw your faith out. He's saying, come on, believe. Come on, I want you to see. Come on, believe in me. Come on, we're gonna do this together. Keep being persistent. Don't give up on me. Don't give up on me. I know you can see a little bit, but open your eyes again. I'm gonna touch you again, and you're gonna open, you're gonna see clearly. So if you don't receive your healing, be patient, but be expectant. I know my healing's coming. Luke chapter 11, 9 through 13, he says, so I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking at the door, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who is asking persistently receives, and he who keeps seeking persistently finds, and him who keeps knocking on the door, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, that is sinful by nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more do you think your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask him? Will you stand to your feet? I just want to encourage you today to be patient and be persistent. Don't ever let anything get in between you and God and your healing. You keep knocking on that door. You keep asking God. You keep going to him over and over again, 100,000 times. And even if you have to have the faith that says, even if he doesn't heal me this time, I'm going to come right back. I'm going to pester God to death. I'm going to be on his nerves. He's going to get so upset with me that I'm just banging on this door over and over and over again. I'm not going to give up on you, God. I'm not giving up on my healing. I'm not giving up on it. Hebrews 6:11 and 12 is the last one I want to read to you. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We don't want you to become lazy. Say, I'm not lazy, God. But to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Never give up on God. Never give up on him. But know that your sickness, your illness, your thorn in the flesh does not define who you are or who God sees you as. He made you in his image. Listen, I was praying about this last night, and God did not create you to go from suffering to suffering, from need to need, from desire to desire. There has to be a hope and a final healing on a day of judgment where you will be there and be fully healed. Life is too short for me to just drudge around. God is too good for me to just go from one thing to the next and from one need to the next need. No, he wants me to be blessed. He wants me to prosper. He wants me to heal other people. He wants so much more for me. So I'm not gonna give up, God. I'm gonna keep pursuing and I'm gonna keep going on because there's a hope for me at the end. There has to be a hope. There has to be a hope in our hearts. And Jesus didn't die for you not to have hope. He didn't die. He didn't bear your sins for you not to have hope. So if any of you are in here today and God is looking down at you and he doesn't see Jesus, then now's your opportunity. If he doesn't look at the cross and see you, then now's your opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity to be fully healed, to be fully healed, so that on your day of judgment, God will say, I know you. I know you. I know him. I know her. So if that's you today, will you just close your eyes and put your hand on your heart? I just want it to be between you and your Father in heaven. This is an intimate moment. Just close your eyes and put your hand on your heart because I want to pray with you. I want you to be fully healed. Church, will you bow your heads with them and close your eyes, and we're going to repeat a prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe that you sent your Son to die for me, to carry the burden of all of my sins. Father God, when you look at the cross, see me. Father God, when you look at me, see Jesus. I receive him as my Lord and Savior. Heal me, Father, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, I have never seen the dead be brought to life. I've never seen a paralytic man get up out of a chair. I've never seen blind eyes open. But I have seen him heal my son in utero. And I have had him heal me in the ER of kidney stones by my wife laying hands on me instantly. And I know many of you in here who have been healed. I know that there's been terminal cancer that has disappeared. I know that you've gotten bad scans and then we prayed and you went right back and then there were no scans and doctors have been dumbfounded. I have seen it. I have seen the healings of God and I believe that he is a healer. I believe with all of my heart that he is a healer. There's nothing that you would ever tell me. There's no one on this earth that will ever tell me that God can't do it. I don't care what the prognosis is. I don't care what it is that you're struggling with. He is a healer. He is a healer. And right now, we're going to provide an opportunity for you to receive your healing. We're going to walk out James 5 right now to the T. Our leaders are going to come down front, and I want to provide a moment for you to be healed. Look at me, leaders. You're going to take this anointing oil. Each one of you get one. And when you come up front to receive your healing, I want you to go to one of these leaders, and I just want you to look at them and tell them what you're believing for. You say, I'm believing for, and fill in the blank. And leaders, look at me. I want you to anoint them. I want you to put oil on the tip of your finger. And I want you to touch their forehead. And I want you to lay hands on their shoulders. And really quick and very simple, I want you to say, then in Jesus' name, be healed. And they're going to be healed. I believe it. You're going to believe it because we're going to see it. Amen, church? So I know some of you have come up. and maybe you haven't received your healing, you come up again. I don't care if you've been up here every week, and I don't care if it doesn't happen today, you keep coming up. And some of you are in here and you haven't come up and you need to. And we've been going through this series and you've been believing, but you've been like, oh, I'm not going to go up and receive prayer. Today is that day. This is not the last time that you'll ever be able to receive healing, but why not right now? Right now in the name of Jesus. So I want you to step out of your seat. We're going to continue to worship, but if you need healing, come up right now. Right now, just get out of your seat. Right now, come up to one of these leaders and tell them what you're believing for. Right now. Come on, if you're believing for healing in your marriage, you bring your wife up here right now. If you're believing for healing for your family member, you come up here right now. You can pray for them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's go worship team. Let's worship.